and welcome to Futures Focus, a fantasy baseball podcast centering around all the top prospects in the game, brought to you by Prospects 1500. My name is Alex Sanchez, and joining me tonight is Nate Eckert. Nate, we're just a few days away from June. That means summer is rapidly approaching. What are your summer plans? Anything exciting going on here as we get to the best time of the year, in my opinion?
Definitely. Just looking forward to the All-Star Weekend that happens to be in Seattle this year. I'm from there originally, so I will definitely be making the trip up. Hopefully we get to go to all the events courtesy of the site, etc. And so we can come back and report it to everybody on the show how everything went.
Yeah, that Futures game is such a cool event. I learned so much just being there for a few hours at Dodger Stadium last year. You were there last year, and then you get to go again this year. So I am jealous of that. The one thing I did learn last year was that Ellie De La Cruz is the guy. And I think everybody is starting to agree with that as he hit two home runs again tonight. He's literally hitting the ball harder than I thought possible. I think physics doesn't believe that he exists in a lot of ways. But yes, the future game is certainly something that's awesome. You know, so cool that we get to kind of be a part of that. But welcome in. We have an episode here today dealing now with 2 months or so of the season complete. We have the pop-up prospect, the guys that have sort of announced themselves to the world, whether it be guys that were struggling last year and have come, you know, and had a resurgence in 2023. Some of these guys that we're going to talk about, we maybe haven't even heard of them in 2 or 3 months ago. We weren't interested in them. We hadn't looked into them. And now we have to take notice, because if you are hot for 2.5 months, you know, you're not just on a hot streak. You have made some adjustments and something is working. Something is clicking. And we're going to go ahead and compare those guys to some of those big prospects that you may already know and be very comfortable with in your dynasty leagues and see who you would rather have. You know, it's the hot new toy or the old reliable kind of thing. So that should be an interesting exercise. Nate, you have five. I have five guys that I've picked as well. So we're going to get 10 guys, if nothing else, to make sure you know these guys that are coming up, getting ahead of them. Maybe they're still available. I think a lot of these will be available in some leagues, and or if they are on teams, they might not be super expensive quite yet. Whereas at the end of the year, they could be, you know, top 50 type of guys. So pretty interesting exercise again that we are going to work on. And before we do that, we of course have our news and notes. A pretty light news and notes week this week. We're going to start with a guy we talked about last week. That's Drew Waters. He is now back with the Royals, went 2-for-4 tonight. Nothing much to really add on to this. Just kind of good to see a guy that we know has a lot of tools. We've seen be successful, minus just kind of a strikeout issue. But if he can kind of solve that, man, he is a very fantasy-friendly type of player. But, Nate, I know you didn't come on here to talk about Drew Waters. You came on here to talk about your guy, Bobby Miller. So go ahead, give your thoughts about his debut and what you think his ceiling is moving forward.
Yeah, thank you, Alex. Yes, Bobby Miller, I mean, there hasn't been a pitcher that I've backed probably more than Miller over the past 3 years. Prior to the draft, he was basically known only as Reed Detmer's teammate, you know, the number two pitcher who had some relief risk associated with his name. But the Dodgers, of course, took their shot at him. And with their first pick, I don't think he was the actual first round pick. They didn't have one that year. But with their first pick, they took him, and now it's starting to look like they may have got one of the better deals of the entire 2020 draft. Remember, that was the year they only had 5 rounds, etc. So after they drafted him, I was very curious about Miller because I knew that they saw something in him that not a lot of other people had. So I started watching tape on him, and my God, his power stuff is unbelievable. And I've been so excited for his MLB debut, and it finally came. So I said to my friend, a friend of mine, before the game, we're in a redraft league together, and even though we both missed out on the chance to grab him, I own him in one of my dynasty leagues, so I had him set in there just ready to go. And I knew that he had to face Atlanta, and Gavin Stone had back-to-back starts where he didn't exactly look like he was the alpha male. Unfortunately, it was almost as if he had predetermined in his mind that he was just going to get handled by these two really, really good elite lineups. And that's exactly what happened. And I said to my friend, who his name's Andre, I said, because he asked me how I thought Bobby Miller was going to do in his debut. And I said, honestly, I think Miller's just going to roll. I think he's going to roll right through that lineup. I know that it's intimidating, but he's the type of pitcher that is got his confidence is, I mean, like in a different stratosphere when he's throwing well. And I mean, his fastball is 100+. Everybody should know that about Bobby Miller. And he, as a complete contrast to Gavin Stone's start, he set up his fastball immediately. That's all he threw for the first, I don't know, inning or so. Of course, he had his slider mixed in a little bit, but just his fastball, pumping in 100 nonstop, finding the zone all night, more or less. Found very little trouble on the base pass, kept guys off of those bases, and really did exactly what he's been doing this entire time up until his debut, and that's just own that fastball of his. And if it starts to get touched, then he goes to his slider, and then his changeup, and then his curveball. I actually like his curveball more than any other of his secondaries. And I was really surprised to see that this year he's cut back on his two-seam, which he used to use all of the time, all the way up until last year. He would saw off so many bats with that two-seam. It was 97, 98. He throws a very heavy fastball, and he was getting it to rise on those Atlanta hitters. And after he got that first K, it just looked like he was, you know, the confidence was just flowing through him. And it was a beautiful thing. It was a really fun start to watch because, of course, he was going against Spencer Strider, who is, you know, if Miller has anybody to look up to, it would be Strider. And he was the first Dodger to debut, the first Dodger starting pitcher to debut with a W since Jose De Leon. Remember him?
I do.
Yeah, that was the last time that happened. So there's a lot of pressure when you're a Dodger starter, and Miller seemed to shrug all of that off and just played catch with Will Smith. He also said that Will called a perfect game and that he didn't shrug him off one time. So, you know, credit to Will Smith also for knowing his stuff before the game. And, you know, when a battery comes together like that in the debut at Atlanta, who, in my opinion, has the most scary lineup in baseball, period. I mean, those guys are monsters, 1 through 9. To see that type of clicking just right out of the gate, it's very exciting. So I was very pleased, as if you couldn't tell. I think his ceiling this year, kind of like on the same trajectory as Bryce Miller. As long as he continues to fill the zone with that dominant fastball, I think he has every bit of 10, 11, 12 wins, about the same amount of quality starts, a sub 3 ERA, and a say like a 105 whip with a 12 K to 9 strikeout ratio.
So I'll push back a little bit here. I think I'd still rather have Gavin Stone in a dynasty league than Bobby Miller. Mm-hmm. I think immediately Bobby Miller having success isn't the most surprising thing in the world with the fastball. The secondary pitches just were uninspiring to me. They don't have a lot of movement, and the fastball is fast. There's no doubt. It doesn't ride a lot though. I have more confidence in Gavin Stone getting his 95, 96 mile per hour fastball and adding a slider cutter ish with the changeup and being more successful in the long term. But immediately, Bobby Miller is certainly very exciting with that electric fastball. It's an embarrassment of riches, to be sure. I mean, honestly, I might even take Sheehan now too, ahead of Miller, and I still like Pepio quite a bit. There's Nick Frasso. There's a bunch Kyle of guys Hurt. For the Dodgers. Kyle Hurt. It's not very fair. So, and Nick Mastrini as well.
Yeah.
So, interesting that he's up. I met him at the Futures game. He definitely seems like he knows best. Not in a bad way, but in a little bit of a negative way, I would say too. Like, I think he thinks he knows what he's doing, which when you have that fastball, it's hard to argue with that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I just hope he can make some adjustments because he's going to need to. And the Braves in the past suck against debuts. I don't know what it is. Like, anybody making their debut against the Braves always does well. So it's probably pretty irrelevant. But anyway, good information there. I know you're one of the experts in Bobby Miller, so I do defer to what you're saying. In terms of other news and notes, not a lot. There's a couple of injuries. Colton Cowser got hurt. George Valera went back on the aisle, which was disappointing.
Ooh.
We saw a call up for Ethan Small today. Didn't go too well. Top prospect Julio Teheran got called up as well. he didn't. I'm just kidding, obviously. But remember Julio Teheran?
I do, and I was wondering to myself, what on earth is he talking about?
So,
little
he did okay. He did okay. there isn't a huge amount of other news to go about as I'm kind of scrolling through some things here. So let's just go to the who's hot right now in the minor leagues as we did this last week. I really liked how this turns out. It gives us some names that maybe aren't on our main radar, but you know, if you have a good week or so of baseball, it's worth noting to keep an eye on. A guy that we have talked about on this podcast, Colt Keith for the Tigers down in AA, hit .528 in the last 10 days with 4 home runs and 7 walks. So that is impressive. I think he's going to get the call up to AAA very, very shortly. And I think we'll see Henry Molloy first, but Colt Keith could and probably will make some noise this year in the big leagues. Two other guys for the Rockies I wanted to mention. We mentioned Yankeel Fernandez last week, still had a great week this week as well, continued his hot start. But Jordan Beck hit .361 with 4 home runs and 28% strike away, but a 21% walk rate, which was encouraging. He's an outfielder for the Rockies. And the infielder Adel Almidor, also in high A, 20 years old, hit .350 with 4 home runs, 2 stolen bases, and a much more palpable 9% strikeout rate. So encouraging there. With Tovar kind of struggling, maybe Almidor is the guy that takes over in the long run. Obviously, he's very, very far away, but Tovar had a very rapid ascent to the big leagues. So perhaps Almidor can do that moving forward as well. On the pitching side, a couple of names I wanted to mention. We sort of talked about Emmett Sheehan, probably worth talking about as well. He had two games where he pitched nine innings, gave 19 strikeouts in nine innings over his two appearances with only two hits and three walks. That's not bad at all.
No, not at all.
So we're going to see him get bumped up as well. I mean, on the year, it's sub two ERA with just a horrendous amount of strikeouts in a good way. I'm not saying horrendous in a bad way. And like just disgusting amount of strikeouts.
Just disgusting.
I think I might like him the best now out of everybody.
No, I'm with you.
It changes every week.
I'm with you on that. I mean, he's got everything physically, right? He, in that fastball, it rises like crazy. You're right about how Bobby Miller's fastball is pretty straight. He's and I'll give it to you, Alex, regarding his secondaries. They were a little subpar in his debut. But overall, I think they're better than what he showed in that Atlanta game. And but Sheehan, my Lord, I mean, the kid, he doesn't even have to throw anything else because that fastball is so ridiculous. It really is a marvel. That's for sure.
Yeah. And the results, he's keeping the walks down, which is quite encouraging. I mean, if this is this is a complete game shutout, he just came within one strikeout of the all-time record for strikeouts in the game. You know, 19 strikeouts.
Jesus, that's I mean, come on, especially with the year that he's been having.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Here's another name, Doug Nikhazy for the Cleveland Guardians, 19 strikeouts as well. He had a few more innings than Sheehan and did give up three earned runs, but still the 19 strikeouts. This is a guy that was a second round pick in 2021, 6'205", with pretty decent amount of pitches. He's got a starter's repertoire here with a decent fastball, a very nice curveball that's kind of a loopy, slow, get you off balance type with a harder slider, and then a changeup as well that's not bad. If all those sort of tick up, he is interesting, especially since he's in Cleveland's system. You kind of got to get ahead of these guys and take a chance on these Cleveland pitchers, as the secret is definitely out. So that's a name you may not have gotten before. He's a left-handed pitcher too, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that, but yeah, at 23, a little bit, you know, but Sheehan's 23 too, so if you're going to like Sheehan, you might as well kind of get on board with this Nikhazy. And if you like IPAs, and you got a hazy IPA, hazy IPA for Nikhazy. We had Noah Cameron as our pitcher of the month. He continued in May. He hasn't given up a run in 13 innings in the last two appearances for him, with 17 strikeouts, only two walks. His stuff's really good. So definitely keep an eye on him as well. We'll talk about your guy, Kyle Hurt. He went eight innings with 16 strikeouts. He's in Double A, 24 years old. I don't know where the Dodgers are getting all these guys. Landon Knack, also, I could put on this list, had 15 strikeouts and 12 innings with only one walk in Double A. I don't know. Like, that's got to be the best Double A rotation.
Yeah. They have the best. They definitely have the best rotation in baseball right now.
Yeah. So they're, the Dodgers are, you know, if the Guardians are the pitching prospect one you want to have, the Dodgers are just sort of right behind them, and then also very good at hitters as well. It's just disgusting. Johnny Laduca at AAA now.
Mm-hmm.
Very jealous. Very jealous. All right. Those are the kind of the guys who's hot. Let's go ahead, take a break here. We'll come back and we'll get into our pop-up prospects. Who would you rather have? And that should be a lot of fun. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And we're back. My name is Alex Sanchez. Joining me, Nate Eckert. This is Futures Focus, and we have a pop-up prospect exercise to do here with you. I have picked 5 prospects that I'm going to grill Nate with here. I'm going to, first of all, sell them as guys that you should be very interested in. I actually like all 5 of these guys a lot. Picked them up wherever I could. Some, you know, the bottom 2 guys, you can't anymore, as we'll get to that. But these other guys, the top ones might be available in like 200 prospect leagues, certainly in keeper leagues and stuff like that. It might be even worth doing. I picked up one of these guys in a just kind of a basic keeper league, and I'm just going to keep him on my bench because I want him eventually. We'll get to him in a bit. But yeah, these are guys that are just having a fantastic 2023. Perhaps either they're recently drafted, as the first guy is here, but, you know, not maybe a first round pick or, you know, guys that we know, but rather those second, third, fourth round guys that are shelling out. So let's get started. We have here a first baseman who plays for the Seattle Mariners. A lot of people I've been listening to here are comparing him to the Vinny Pasquantino and Kyle Manzardo. His name is Tyler Locklear. He plays first base. So, you know, the bar is very high for those first baseman prospects, but you're getting a guy that's hitting .299. He has almost a .400 on base percentage. So very Pasquantino and Manzardo-esque. Strikeout rates at 22%, 10 home runs, 5 stolen bases. This is a very big, burly masher. I mean, 7 home runs last year in his debut. He's already up to 10 now. You know, you're looking at a 30 homer bat. This is also a very good system recently for developing, and even with like Kelnick's fixing some problems that you might have with Julio's ascension. Like, this is a system you definitely want to get into. So you're getting, you know, the power, the hit tool is pretty darn good as well. The strikeouts are manageable, the walk rate's impressive. And if he improves on any of those things, this guy is going to have a rapid ascent, and he was the 58th overall pick last year. So definitely some guy that probably wasn't drafted in a lot of first year player drafts, especially as a first baseman. You know, these are guys that a lot of people are going to look over and take that shortstop, take the pitcher, take the outfielder. But granted, there is a lot of ways this can go poorly. But Tyler Locklear, Nate, what are your thoughts hearing that? Are you impressed with him this year? And then I'll ask you a follow-up question with some guys that would you rather?
Yeah, I'm definitely impressed with Locklear this year. I mean, it's kind of hard not to be because of literally all those stats that you just said. I'm curious if Everett moved their walls in, because I watched the highlight the other night, and it did look as if the walls had been moved in, which would make sense because I grew up in the neighboring town of Marysville, Washington. That's adjacent, right next to Everett, 5 miles down the road. And Aqua Sox games were something that I went to all of the time. So I know that stadium inside and out, and I was just there a couple of years ago, but they hadn't changed anything about the stadium. And it used to be enormous. I'm talking like 335, 340 down the line, and then like 420 in center, and a 30-foot wall across the entire field. So perhaps they moved it in. If not, those 10 home runs are even more impressive, because it takes a lot to to get it out of that yard. Aside from that,
I'm looking at a picture of it, and it all those things you described are true, like the walls and the sky. Yeah. But the walls do look like really close. Like there doesn't look like there's a lot of outfield. So you might.
Yeah. So I think they probably moved it in because I cannot imagine he would have ripped 10 already out of Everett Memorial. That's its name. But regardless, it's still very impressive. I mean, it's high A advanced, and he was drafted in, let's see here, last year? Yep. Mm-hmm.
Last year.
So, very impressive. And just like you said, Alex, you could probably get him for pretty cheap in a more shallow dynasty league. Yeah, I like him a lot.
Okay, let's just see how much you like him with – Tyler Locklear, now again, I'm going to try. It's hard with him. We will try to keep positions for the other ones here, but there's not a lot of great first base prospects to compare him to. Either
they're
super elite or they're not very close. But we could start with one, Blaze Jordan. Would you rather have Blaze Jordan or would you rather have Tyler Locklear?
At this point, I'd probably stick with Blaze. Just because of the age, I'm assuming Blaze is a couple years younger than Locklear at this point in time. Yes.
Yeah.
And I know Locklear is killing it right now, and you're right, Alex, his ascension, probably will be much faster than Blaze's, but, I'm not ready to give up entirely on Blaze, and not that Locklear is giving up by any stretch. But I would be okay with sticking with Blaze. And I'm not even really the biggest Blaze guy out there at all. But I do think that he still has a lot to show. So for now, I would say Jordan.
What about the fellow Mariners prospect Cole Young?
Ooh, see, I gotta go Young all day on that one. I like this kid Young a lot. I also like the Mariners' ability to draft and raise middle infielders in their system, i.e. Noelvi Marte, who's no longer middle infielder, but he was drafted that way, or at least signed that way, the other one, Arroyo, who they shipped off to the Reds. I like Young a lot. His speed is very attractive to me. And that hit tool, of course. I don't know how many times I can say it, but I'll say it again. For me, prospects with hit tools are so much more attractive than prospects with power tools over hit. Because 9 times out of 10, these kids grow into their frames and they have incredible weight programs and incredible, nutritionists and gyms, and they work out throughout the entire year. So I have little doubt in my mind that Cole Young won't develop into some sort of power that's worth 20 to 25 a year. I'm sticking with Cole Young.
Okay, what about another guy that's could be considered a pop-up? He didn't make either of our lists, but for the Padres, Nathan Mortarella. He is a 22-year-old first baseman, 273, 7 home runs, same age, same level as Locklear, with a little less fanfare. Although they're both, advanced college bats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna stick with the hometown kid here, Tyler Locklear, based on several different reasons, but mainly because your boy is a Padre, yuck. And it just looks like Locklear is the better version of the two. He's got a little bit more of everything stat-wise. And I like Seattle's system more than San Diego's. And there's not a whole lot more I could say about good old San Diego. Just not a big fan of that system or the organization.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I found your limit then for Locklear. It sounds like you're sort of buying into it here, but again, with that first baseman, there's just, you know, in any poor performance sort of lowers his value as high as it may be right now. So good to know. But was my first one.
A good comp, I think, for this kid already is Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah, I think so. I think all these kind of first baseman prospects, that's the goal, is like be at least as good as Rhys Hoskins. Because if you're worse than Rhys Hoskins, you're probably not making it. Because like Hoskins is okay. Like he's what, a 250, 30 homer bat type of thing. Like you would expect that from a first baseman at the big league level.
Yeah, maybe more like Ryan Mountcastle. Maybe
Mountcastle. Yeah. I mean, so you want those 30 home runs with that 300 average. That's when you get to Freddie Freeman's and the elite of the elite. But all right, let's hear one of your guys, your pop-up guys that will would you rather?
Yeah. So this is now. OK, so we're going to do you now. That's right. Correct.
That's correct. Yeah.
All right. Okay, so first off the block, this is somebody who I am a huge fan of. I don't know how much longer he will stay a pop-up for much longer. However, he is absolutely a monster this year, and I invested in him in the Prospects 1500 Prospects Only Beat Staff League as a baby prospect, and I couldn't be more happy with how he has developed this season. His name is Yankiel Fernandez, the big, powerful left-handed bat for the Colorado Rockies. He has absolutely crushed the ball this year, and he's very, very young. I cannot express just how excited I am about this kid. If I were Alex, I'd probably take him over just about everybody. So real quick, thus far, as a 20-year-old, he's been promoted from single A to high A. With that said, pretty much throw out the single A experience of this season. He only hit 231 and he was only there for three games. So just think solely single A advanced. 20 years old, 324 average, 349 on base percentage. Could be a little bit better, but again, he's 20. And he turned 20. Let's see here. Well, he'll be 21 come July. So perhaps he's not as young as I was thinking, but still, he's 20 years old, guys. 592 slugging percentage, which is beautiful. 941 OPS in total. He's had, let's see here, 11 bombs, 11 doubles, and 2 triples. Doesn't have any steals on the year, but and he also doesn't really walk a whole lot. However, his strikeout rate isn't as bad as you would expect it, considering he's only got 8 walks this year. He only has 37 strikeouts. So, I mean, that's not too horrendous. And 44 RBIs. So that's pretty sweet. So we should get into the would you rathers. And let's see here. My very first one for you, Alex, would be your boy, James Wood.
First of all, he is as young as you think. I have him born January 1st. So he'll be 21 in.
I'm sorry. That was the day he was signed. July 12th is what I was looking at. 2019. That would make him all of 4 years old. So, yeah. Good catch.
Yeah, just making sure we're on the, making sure we give the right information. But yes, yes, James Wood, that's an easy one. That's not even close.
Okay, so James Wood, no matter what.
Yeah.
Fair enough. okay, so the next one up I've got is, let's see here. Dun, 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 dun. Pete Crow Armstrong.
You're getting closer, but it's still pretty easily Peter Crow Armstrong because of the speed. Jan Kiel has great power, there's no doubt, but he falls into that Locklear problem where his defense and his speed are not going to bail him out, so he's got a hit, and I'm scared of that. So give me the guy that's going to have premium defense with speed in center field for the Cubs. I feel like he's much more safer at this point, so I would take PCA.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. Okay, here we are. So we're going to get a little more close with his fellow organization mate, Zach Veen.
That's an interesting one. I think I'd maybe take Jan Kiel at this point. It might be a hot take, but Zach Veen is just seems like, I don't buy the stolen bases, and he hasn't done much else. So I don't even know how he's doing this year. I've kind of given up on him. So if that's what I'm sort of thinking, I'll take Jan Kiel actually.
A 677 OPS. So yeah,
nothing, no power. And let's not forget, Colorado plays in a bunch of hitter parks too. Like they're all preparing their prospects for Coors Field. Mm-hmm. So they should all be smashing.
Yeah.
Although I think Albuquerque. Double A is probably, yeah. But give me Jan Kiel. Why not? I'd rather take some of the potential there.
Okay. Beautiful. Do I have one more?
Sure, if you want.
Okay, one more, because I really think that you may struggle with this one. Dodgers 18-year-old phenom shortstop, Josue De Paula.
I'll take Jan Kiel over him, just because I know more about Fernandez at this point.
Yep,
but
okay.
They're close.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go on to the pitching side of things here. This is a guy I'm very interested to see your take on him. I think I'll be willing to take this guy ahead of a lot of the names that I'm going to give you, and I'm not to peer pressure you into that, but this is another man, Brian Wu, who has been just phenomenal this year. The thing with Wu is he had some reliever risk that with his command that people were kind of worried about, but he's kind of controlled that to a certain extent this year. And the stats are just incredible. 53 strikeouts in 39 innings, 2.08 ERA in Double A as a 23-year-old, plus the whip under one at 0.9, 12 strikeouts per nine, and 2.3 walks per nine. Certainly nothing horrendous there, because that was the weakness. That was, okay, he's got great stuff, a fantastic fastball with some good off-speed to go along with it. But the command just wasn't there. That's probably why you were able to pick up Brian Wu for free a few months ago. Not anymore, as he has had a very rapid ascent. So this is easier because we have a lot more pitchers to go over here. Let me get your thoughts here on Brian Wu and somebody like a DL Hall, also a kind of a reliever risk, but fantastic stuff. Who would you rather have long term there?
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with our boy Wu, and this is why. DL Hall, though I love DL Hall's stuff, and I've been pulling for DL Hall for what feels like 10 years. I just don't think that he's going to survive as a starter in the bigs, only because of his walk rate and his inability to control the zone. Wu seems to have figured that out, and then some. I love the fact that he's in Double A, and he's basically bettered his stats by, I don't know what he's basically cut all of his stats in half, i.e. his ERA, his whip, his average, I mean opponent's average. And he's managed to raise all of the counting stats. So, and he did that from single A advanced to Double A. And I think that's a huge step forward. 6'2", 200. He's got a beautiful fastball. So yeah, I'm going to stick with Wu.
I agree. I 100% with what you're saying. Let's go with, we actually can compare him to a few of the other names that we're going to get into here. But before we kind of give those names out, what about Jack Leiter? Would you take Leiter or would you take Wu?
Oh God, that's a hard one, man, because I still am a Leiter guy. I've always loved Jack Leiter. I hate to say this because, well, to be fair, Leiter has had has had some good starts as of late, and I do feel like Texas has been, or at least they were extremely aggressive with his placement where he started last year, etc. I'm sticking with Leiter because he's my boy, and I think he will figure things out professionally, and I think that the Vandy boy. Will come back as a pro. So I love Wu, but I have to stick with Leiter, and his ceiling is higher than Wu's, even though Wu's is very high. I think Leiter can be a true ace, and I don't see Wu being an ace. I see him ceiling as a second starter.
I don't know if I agree. I mean, Wu has the exact same stats as Jack Leiter, except his ERA is 2 compared to 4, and his walks are 10 compared to 27 for Leiter. And they're at the same level, and they're Wu's actually a year younger. So if you took out the name Jack, I'm sorry, they're the same age. But if you took out the name of Jack Leiter and you didn't have the hype, I mean, it wouldn't even be close. So I think Leiter is still getting by on his name quite a bit, which is fair.
That's true. That's true. And so, it is fair because of his performance at Vanderbilt also.
Yeah, and that performance,
And the simple fact that I've watched Leiter a lot more than I've watched Wu. And his dad was a pitcher in Major League Baseball, you know, forever. So,
but if you scout the stat line, I mean, it's just like,
right,
not even, just they're the same age and level, and one's doing much better than the other and has done better in even last year. Wu did better than Leiter too. So, let's go with another guy that's maybe not as big of a name as Leiter. Let's do Ben Brown for the Cubs. Another guy that's sort of a pop-up guy. Got up to AAA now. 23 years old. So same age, about a higher level. What do you think of Ben Brown or Brian Wu? I think that's a pretty close one.
Yeah, that is. That's very close. I'll stick with Wu. Because of everything that we just mentioned about Leiter, except Ben Brown is not Jack Leiter's name. And you have to remember that with Leiter, I'm sticking behind somebody that I believe in. You know what I mean? It would just be really difficult for me to just – I'm not the type to jump off of what I feel. You know what I mean? And it would just be difficult for me to take a kid in Wu, who last year I knew he existed, but I certainly didn't have any stock in him. But with that, Ben Brown, I had absolutely no idea who he was last year. And now I'm learning about him, obviously, but I'll go with Wu because of everything that we've already talked about. But now I know Wu more than I know Ben Brown, and I will stick with Wu.
I want to do this for the sake of time too. We're taking a little bit longer than I anticipated just to get all these names in. So I'm going to just give you the other guy because it's another pitcher and there's only so much you can say about these guys. Like, and this guy is right in that same range, honestly. So, the other pop-up guy I have for you is Andrew Abbott for the Cincinnati Reds. Same age. Again, these are all 23-year-olds, but Abbott has gotten up to AAA, does have some success in AAA where Ben Brown sort of struggled. So interesting to see your thoughts on that. 46 strikeouts in 31 innings. Does have a 4.1 walk per nine, which is a little concerning, but that strikeout rate certainly encouraging for a guy that just got bumped up recently. So Brian Wu, Ben Brown, Andrew Abbott, all very similar, I think, in rankings when we update. But let me hear where you put those guys now.
In comparison with the three of them?
Yeah, so you have obviously Wu ahead of Brown. So where do you fit Abbott into that?
I think Abbott goes ahead of Brown and below Wu. That's where I'm going to go. I like Andrew Abbott. I do know that his AA numbers were a bit inflated because of that baseball, but he has been doing very well in AAA. With that said, though, I like the Mariners develop more than the Reds. But who knows? Maybe Wu will be playing for the Reds next year, considering how many Mariners they've been shipping off. Yeah, there. That's a great point. Damn.
I think I agree with you. I would take Wu first and then Abbott and then Ben Brown. To be honest, I think Abbott has the best floor out of all of these guys. Mm-hmm, but to me, Wu has the highest ceiling. And Ben Brown somewhere in the middle of those guys. So depending on what you're looking for, if you're going for the home run, go with Brian Wu. You're probably going to have to wait a little bit longer. I could see Andrew Abbott making his debut this year. I could see Ben Brown making his debut this year. But I do think Wu has the highest potential since he's sort of figured out the walks and he has better stuff than Andrew Abbott. Andrew Abbott's stuff is just okay, but he knows how to pitch and he has great command. So, he's gotten, well, the command hasn't really shown in AAA. So maybe he doesn't have great, much better command. But yeah, I think very, very good. Let's guess what, I mean, I have all these pitchers here. So let me do one more for you. I know I've been doing a lot of asking you, but.
No, that's fine.
None of these guys, we haven't mentioned injury risk for any three of those guys, despite them being top pitching prospects. So. If you could turn injuries off, you're obviously taking this next guy, Mason Miller, ahead of all of those guys. Unfortunately, we can't turn the injuries off. Mason Miller out now for the next couple of weeks, months, maybe even perhaps the whole year if the A's are halfway smart in any way. But Mason Miller, where does he fit in that list now? And then this gives me an insight on how you assess injury risk and moving forward and what you're comfortable with. So all three of those guys versus Mason Miller.
Let's see here. So we are speaking about the injury that we are taking this into equation, correct?
Well, yeah, you have to. I mean, that's Mason Miller's problem. Like I said, if he had no injury risk, he's the best pitcher in baseball, like essentially.
Yeah. Okay. I get you. All right. Best stuff, definitely. It's an elbow injury, and you're right. Who knows if they'll bring him back this year? Let's see. Wu.
Yeah. Start there. Wu or Miller?
Yeah, I'm taking Wu. Over Miller.
Okay.
And then I probably take Miller over Abbott and Brown also. I mean, it's dynasty, right? I can wait a year. My squad's good enough where I don't need to be dependent upon Mason Miller's you know. But he is 24, but you know, who doesn't go through a Tommy John once or twice in their career? You know what I mean? Yeah. I see him as a what's a good comp? Oh, Nathan Eovaldi type, where he can make a real career for himself just way later than most starters. So that's probably what I would be hoping for in Miller.
Yeah. I think I would take Miller ahead of all of them. I'll just believe in modern medicine and the fact that, like you said, eventually he'll be healthy because the stuff is just ridiculous. So as scared as I am with pitching prospects, I will take the guy that has the biggest ceiling if everything goes according to plan, which probably it won't. But yeah, give me Mason Miller ahead of those guys. But it would definitely go for me Miller Wu, which seems like it's Wu Miller for you. And then I would go Abbott and then Ben Brown. So I think we're in agreement there. But Ben Brown is another guy that we could easily add to this list. All right, I'm done with my guys. I have one more guy to go over with you, which we'll save kind of to the end. But yeah, I'm ready to reverse this up.
Okay, so we're going to stick on the pitcher train here. And this is a kid who you and I actually made a trade together for earlier this year in the Zao Dynasty. I ended up getting him from you. Frank Mazzucato, Kansas City, lefty. We've spoke about him a few times already. 19, absolutely dealing this year. 2.19 ERA, 1.07 whip. 64 strikeouts through 41 innings, 22 walks, which, you know, could be less for sure. But his strikeout to nine ratio is at 14 right now, which is beautiful. But his walk to nine ratio is 4.8, which is not beautiful. But again, 19, you got to think he's going to clean that up. Let's see here. My okay, well, Cade. Sorry, what?
I was just gonna say, I would take all those guys we mentioned ahead of Mazzucato.
All of them.
Yeah.
Because of his age.
Yes.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. Just let's just cut out all the fluff, you know. I'm just getting right to it. I would take all those other guys.
Which, okay, fair enough.
Honestly, like, we're not even talking to Mazzucato as a top 300 guy, and now we sort of are, as a, you know, to me he's in the top 200 range. So like, he's improved his stock, there's no doubt. But those other guys are very much ahead of him for me.
Right, because they're further along in their careers and they have a much better chance of making Major League Baseball, et cetera.
Precisely.
Right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Exactly right. Just so cut to the chase here.
Okay, no problem. All right. With that said, would you rather have Cade Horton, the also 2022 draftee?
Cubs. I think I take Cade Horton. That's closer though, for sure. I love Mazzucato kind of growing into his body. Like, I'm trying to convince myself that he's still that old, or he's not that old, but that young teenager guy that has no chance. But he's not that anymore. But I still like Cade Horton. I think he's closer to the big leagues, even if they're at the same level, just because of the college experience that he has, and I've seen him at a very high level do some pretty astonishing things. So give me Cade Horton, but it's pretty close.
Okay, great. All right, let's go down the line here a bit. Well, let's see here. How about Dre Jameson or Frank Mazzucato? This sounds pretty obvious right out of the gate.
Yeah, I would take Mazzucato in that for sure.
You would? Mazzucato?
Yeah.
See, I thought you were going to take Jameson.
Yeah, I'm out. I think Mazzucato, with the age and the ceiling's a little bit higher. I don't know. It seems like these Diamondback prospects are just not delivering with Brendan Aside from Faught. Corbin. Like,
Corbin Carroll.
Yeah, well, I mean the pitching side.
Yes.
Like, Faught, Tommy Henry, Ryan Nelson, and then Dre Jameson. Mm-hmm. So let me just, and it's not like the Royals are any better, so that's probably not a good argument. But
hey, you know, the Royals, I think they're coming back a little bit.
Yeah. Give me Mazzucato there.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. Good. I'm glad to hear it. How about a little high school rivalry? Only because they're both high school lefties who were taken very high in the draft. Mazzucato or Robbie Snelling?
Yeah, give me Mazzucato there again.
See, I'm surprised. Like, again. I thought you I knew you liked Snelling. That's why I wanted to hear it.
The rationale behind that would be the Royals are certainly more invested in Mazzucato. So if I'm going to pick a guy that's, you know, 3 or 4 years away in those two, then give me the guy mm-hmm. that the Royals have a lot of millions of dollars invested into.
Okay, good.
But I do like Snelling a lot too. I think Snelling's kind of good. I haven't been following him.
1.15 ERA, 0.99 yeah. WHIP. Much less.
I like him too. But again, the only difference is that I should look at Snelling. I don't know how much the Padres. I should know how much the Padres have given him. But
he was, yeah, he got a pretty good clip. I think it was like 2.8.
Yeah, but not seventh overall clip, right?
No, he was in the collective bargaining, I think.
Yeah, I know he went later for sure, but I'm just wondering if I know the Royals didn't pay Mazzucato his slot money, like they went under for sure. I don't know. That's something we should have looked at. But yeah, give me Mazzucato. Let's move on from Mazzucato. I'm sick of him.
Yep. Okay. Now, sticking with the pitchers, we're moving on to Jared Jones, somebody who I am super high on. We spoke about him last week. You know, this kid had arguably the best stuff as a high schooler coming out of the 2022 draft. He was pitching 96 that year. Now he's still around 96. I mean, he could ratchet it up to like 99 or so, but essentially he has cleaned up his stuff. His walk rate is at a far more manageable 2.6 per nine. Last year it was definitely in the fours. So you love seeing him clean that up, especially at Double A, where last year, I'm not sure if he was in Double A that he made more than a start or two, because he's only, let's see here, 21, if I were to guess. Yep, 21 years old. 24 innings pitched this year. He's got a 3 on the dot ERA, a 1.13 WHIP, 28 strikeouts, 7 walks, a K through 9 of 10.5. And this is why I think he's made the ascent this year, is because his K rate last year, I'm pretty sure, was higher than it is this year. So I think he stopped trying to strike out every single person in the lineup. And I think he's starting to learn how to get through lineups a little more efficiently. And when pitchers are able to do that and they have wipeout stuff to begin with, then you're starting to look at guys like Dustin May-esque, who could strike everybody out if that was his direction that he wanted to go. But I think for Jared Jones to be a starter, he very much so needs to stick to that more efficient type of pitching. And it appears that he has started to do that. So now let's see here. Let's ask Alex who he thinks he would go for when comparing Jones to, let's see here. One second, my friend. Not going to take him over Mason Miller because we literally just said Mason Miller over everyone. Oh, here's a good one. How about Tink Hentz, righty for the Cardinals?
Yeah, give me Hentz over Jared Jones there.
Okay. All right. Because of ceiling or?
Yeah, I think his. I don't know if I love Hentz as much as you do. I know you like him a lot, but he hasn't had any like reason for me to not like him at any point. And he's like just awesome. So give me Hentz for sure.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Jared Jones or let's see, Jack Leiter.
No, I hate Jack Leiter. So Jared Jones. For sure. I mean, I don't hate Leiter. I think he's actually probably underrated now for some of the, you know, those expert guys in your dynasty league that just know everything. They might think he's so you might want to buy, because I do think he's going to make the big leagues, but I don't think he's going to be a top 25 or top 50 pitcher. So give me Jared Jones there.
All righty. Well, you said we were sick of talking about Mazzucato, but Jared Jones v. Mazzucato, who are you taking?
Yeah, I'll take Jared Jones.
Good. Nice. Me too.
Good.
Last but not least, let's go with your boy, the ATL-ian, Owen Murphy, drafted this year, last year, sorry, 2022.
Yeah, Owen Murphy. Give me Jared Jones there as well. I think Jared Jones, like the strikeout stuff that he had last year, and you were saying this a little bit, is it was so good last year, and then the ERAs and some of those peripheral stats weren't nearly as good, and those peripheral stats are coming along this year with kind of a lesser strikeout rate. But if you had that strikeout rate in the past, then like if you need it, it's there. So give me Jared Jones. I think he's a really underrated guy you could get right now.
Yes, indeed. And just to piggyback on that, Alex, if anybody out there still has Jared Jones available in their league, my God, please, you should have got him yesterday, because I'm telling you, there are only a few pitchers who I have really, really loved as much as I love Jared Jones. And Bobby Miller's in the same conversation. Those 2020 guys, I really, really, really got deep on, because what else was I doing in 2020, you know? So, yeah, anyway. Okay, so we're done with pitchers completely.
Thank God.
This is not your favorite.
That was good. I think that was good. Like all those pitchers are really in the same range. I mean, for me, Mason Miller is like the guy, and probably Owen Murphy's like the bottom of that list that we went over of all those guys. Yeah. So, but they're all like within 10 to 15 spots of each other. So that's a good list. I think we made up there.
Indeed. Indeed. So, you want to do your last one, or am I still going?
Yeah. No, let's do I'll do the last one for you. This is a guy that we love. I know both of us love a lot. It's Junior Caminero for the Rays, a guy that everybody is trying to get right now. There's no doubt. The things that he's doing are superstar-esque potential. But just how far are you willing to go with this guy? We've talked about him enough where, like, if you don't know who he is, then we're probably not doing our job well enough, or you're not listening enough.
You're living under a rock.
No. Yeah. A 19-year-old at high A, 11 home runs, 352, two stolen bases. He hits the ball just
so hard,
unlike many people can do. So, you know who he is. I mean, we don't need to talk about him in too much detail. But I want to know how high he is for you, according to some of these other guys that are very, very good prospects in their own right. So let's start with the guy you mentioned earlier for me, and it was a no-brainer, but James Wood or Junior Caminero, if I come at you with that.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Wood on that one. His upside is so enticing to me. I've also been a big James Wood guy. Caminero, yes, he has done nothing but perform since he's been a professional. There's absolutely – that is with certainty. Every year he's performed. Every year he's got better. This year is when he really got on my radar, more so than the last couple of years. But Wood, I have – been closer to just tape wise and numbers wise than Caminero. Therefore, I just have to default to the guy that I know more about, and that would be James Wood.
Okay, let's go with Colton Cowser for the Orioles.
Ooh, or Junior Caminero. And he just got hurt, correct? Cowser did.
Yeah, we talked about that. Just got hurt. But
was it a big?
It's nothing major.
Okay, so he's just gonna be out a few days. Long term, it's dynasty, right? So, no, I'm sticking with Cowser. He's my boy. He always has been, always will be. I think he's a younger Christian Yelich in the making. I like him for every single reason. He literally has all five tools. And he'll be in the bigs before Caminero.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I gave you guys that are performing very, very well. Colton Cowser, James Wood, having phenomenal seasons. What about a guy who everybody loved, but is having a brutal 2023 in Jordan Lawler?
See, that one's easy for me. I've always been a Marcelo Mayer over Jordan Lawler advocate. So I'll take Caminero. Not only is Caminero doing it right now, he's done it, like I just said, for the past 2 years on top of this year. And Lawler has seemed to have hit a wall. Now, we shall see what he does to, you know, either reverse this trajectory or if it continues the way it does. But right now, Caminero doesn't have to worry about any of that because he's outperforming damn near every single minor leaguer in baseball right now. And he's so young, it's just really kind of nuts. So, yeah, Caminero over Jordan Lawler.
Yeah, so Lawler is so interesting because he's had some of the worst luck you could possibly imagine, where he's actually hit the ball harder this year than he has last year by about 10%. His strikeout rate is roughly the same that it was last year. His walk rate is actually better this year. He has 5 home runs and 11 stolen bases. So he's been just, I don't even know how to explain it, unlucky. So, but that is really close for me. They're like, they might be back to back if I were to update our rankings. I don't even know who would I have. But Lawler, don't give up on Lawler. I know you said you're a Meyer over Lawler guy. I definitely love Lawler a lot. So I'm anxious for him to turn. I think he's going to turn it around real, real quick. But what about this guy? Let's go with guy. Actually, okay. So I think Lawler's nice because they're kind of the same time frame. Matt McClain, you get a major leaguer right now?
Or are you taking doing really junior? Well already. In Dynasty, now I own Matt McClain in our Prospects 1500 Beat the Staff League. And if somebody came to me and said, here's Caminero, in that league, I'm sticking with McClain because in that league, we only took prospects and we had to wait until they made their debut and then you can reap the rewards. So I guess in that league, I'd take McClain. However, if this were the Zao Dynasty, the other dynasty league we play in, it's more of a traditional dynasty, I would take Caminero, because for reasons opposite of what I just said, it doesn't matter whether or not it's all prospects. That's not how it happened. I mean, if somebody came to me with a trade and I already owned McClain, I'd probably go with Caminero in that league because, you know, these guys are very close and we do this for a reason, right, Alex? They're very close, but it comes down to things that sometimes you don't even have to do with the players so much as it has to do with your situation and where you're at, say, like in the standings right now. I'm in second place in one, and I'm about the middle of the road in the other. So in that league, the where I'm in the middle of the road, it's all dependent upon the prospects that we chose and now who are in the major leagues. So I would be insanely short-sighted to trade away the one guy who, along with the other four or five guys who have been promoted since we did the draft a couple of years ago, that's actually getting me points right this very moment for Caminero, who wouldn't give me points for at least a year or so. But in the other league, which is far more traditional, and I'm in second place, I have the, the cushion to take a kid whose ceiling is absolutely stratospheric and trade away somebody that's doing it right this moment, because that, as someone on Twitter just pointed out today, shout out to him, that lineup is stacked. So I don't need to have Matt McClain this moment. So you know, when you're looking at, I think this is a good point just to draw in general. When you're looking at guys that are so very close in all regards, sometimes it just comes down to, you know, your situation. And this is one of those situations.
All right, last one here, because Caminero reminds me a lot of Jackson Churio from last year. Mm-hmm. The guy that just, you know, shot up the charts. But now Churio is at Double A, same age, but struggling a little bit. 239, 5 home runs, 9 RBI, or 9 stolen bases. So who do you have there, Churio or Caminero?
That's a very, very, very close one for me, because you're right. Churio did it last year, and now he's at Double A, hitting a bit of a Double A wall, as we all kind of expected. I did. And Caminero's at High A Advanced, you know, bursting onto the scene. So they're almost mirror images of one another. I'd probably stick with the elder statesman. No, they're both the same age, but the one that's in Double A, just because he's experiencing it as we speak. And we've already seen what Churio could do in Single A Advanced. I mean, my God, he had one of the best seasons ever. So the fact that he's in Double A right now experiencing it and Caminero is not, just means to me that he's got a leg up. And I don't think that Churio has lost any of that exquisite talent of his because he's in Double A and struggling. If anything, he's making himself better. So yeah, that one is Churio, and it's pretty easy for me.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. Let me do one more just to make sure that because it seems like all these guys are mostly ahead of Caminero for you, but what about Jackson Merrill? Everybody's favorite guy for a while there. What would you rather have now?
You know, I've never really been a huge Jackson Merrill guy. I know that he gave us every reason to do so last year, but I haven't really heard a whole lot about him this year, which leads me to think that maybe he hasn't been doing so well this year. And if that's the case, which I'm assuming it is, then I have to go with Caminero because, you know, he's 19. He's doing all these crazy things at Single A Advanced, and he's done it thus far. And I'm pretty sure that if we were to compare their lifetime numbers, albeit, you know, the 3 long years of their lifetime or 2, who knows, I would assume that Caminero's numbers overall were better as a whole. And I think his ceiling is much higher than Merrill's as well. So Caminero.
Yeah, for sure. The ceiling's higher. Last year, Merrill is having probably a better year in terms of like what Caminero could probably do. And I mean, Merrill had such a very special year last year. But this year, you're right.
Yeah.
Nothing super crazy in there at the same level. And Merrill's a year older. So I agree. Caminero. I'd actually take Caminero ahead of, I'd take Caminero ahead of Wood. I would take Cowser ahead of Caminero. I'd take Churio ahead of Caminero. And I would take Caminero ahead of McLean pretty easily and ahead of Merrill. So that's where I'm at, just in case anybody was curious. But there you go. All right. My list is done. I think you have one. Do you have one more name for me or no?
Yes, I have one more, unless we're out of time.
No, let's do the one more. Because I.
Okay. Oh yeah, this is one of your boys. Okay, so okay. Everyone again should know who this guy is. He's an absolute monster. Christian Encarnacion Strand, who I will refer to from here on out as CES. He's one of those guys who has put himself into the realm of just abbreviationship. CES, monstrous. Third baseman for the Cincinnati Reds. I'm not going to go through over all his numbers. If you don't know, please just look it up. Chances are, if you're our listeners, Lord knows you probably know more about this than we do, and you're all brilliant. So you guys don't need the breakdown on CES. Therefore, with that said, let's go through a few names here and see who Alex likes more. Okay, Alex, CES or Ronnie Mauricio?
Yeah, I'll take Encarnacion Strand there. I think the playing time's a little bit more guaranteed when he does get called up. They're both at the same level right now. I do like Mauricio a lot. But yeah, I think I'll take CES for now.
Okay, nice. Let's see here. Ooh, here's a good one. CES or Heston Kerstad?
Yeah, I mean, everybody seems to be into Kerstad right now for good reason. I mean,
yeah,
you don't draft that highly for no good reason. Again, I think like the Reds just have an opening for him in the long term, whereas if Kerstad doesn't perform, I don't know how long his opportunity would last unless he gets traded. So give me CES again in that scenario.
Okay, no problem. Just as a summarization of Kerstad thus far this year at Double A, sitting 322 with a 396 on base percentage and a 630 slugging. That's a 1020 OPS with 10 home runs. So just so everybody understands what they're facing in case they didn't know what Kerstad was up to. All righty. Ooh, here's a good one. CES or your boy, Logan O'Hoppe.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that one's pretty easy for me. I'm not going to invest in catchers over a guy that's going to hit 35 home runs in my mind. So love O'Hoppe. I think, catching wise, he's one of the best catching prospects we'll see for a while. But, I mean, he's not going to hit 35 home runs.
No, he won't. You're right. Okay, let's make it a little more difficult for you. A guy who's not having a very good year this year, Curtis Mead.
Oh, yeah. So with Curtis Mead, I think I would take Curtis Mead ahead of Encarnacion Strand. And the simple reason for that is I think Mead's hit tool is just safer. With Encarnacion Strand, he's swinging at everything and it's working, but it definitely it definitely could be an up and down roller coaster for him. It could be a Joey Gallo-esque 35 home runs. I don't think so. I think he'll figure it out, but certainly Mead doesn't have a lot of holes in his game in my mind. So yeah, give me Curtis Mead.
Yep. And just because he's struggling in the first couple of months of his AAA season doesn't mean anything, folks. I'm sorry, but it's way too early to throw the X on Curtis Mead. Okay, last but not least, let's give you somebody who... Kobe Mayo.
That's a good one. I do like Kobe Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
21-year-old, 6 home runs. Give me Kobe Mayo there.
Nice.
Close, nice. Though.
Yes, very close.
That was a good one to end on. I think those will be very close. I do. Oh, man. I think I. So I'm trying to think of like if it's a dynasty league, because I have both these guys in the league I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had to get rid of one, I'd probably get rid of Mayo first. So I'll take it back.
I was gonna be so proud of you, Alex, for sticking with Mayo, but now
I do like they're close, but I think like Encarnacion Strand is gonna come up and hit 35 home runs. Like I keep saying that.
Yeah. No, I get it, and that's I know he's your boy. That's why I was curious, and I'm really glad that we got to figure out just how much he is your boy.
Yeah.
It was a good exercise.
He's gonna be up next week, right? I mean, I keep in my mind he's just up next week.
I mean, he's got to have the same type of hand-eye coordination as, say, like old Vlad Guerrero, right? Maybe. I mean, yeah. He swings at literally everything.
Outliers, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, hey, Vlad was a Hall of Famer. If he's not already, I don't know if they inducted him or not, so
32 homers last year, 300 average. It worked last year. Didn't strike out.
Wow.
Strike out the same. Doesn't walk. It's just the way he is.
Did he have the same walk clip last year? He's only, his walk percentage this year, folks, is 2.3%.
Yeah. He walked and struck out less last year. Or he walked more and struck out less is what I'm trying to say.
At AA, though, right? Or single A advance.
Yeah, AA. So I'm trying to see where he had most of it. So 25. I mean, he kind of went all over the board in three levels. So I'm trying to do some quick math here. But yeah, like he definitely walked more and struck out about the same.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, again, why would you walk when you can just swing and hit a home run?
Smash. Yeah, exactly. When you can just mash all day, every day. Yeah. I mean,
walking is when you can't hit. I mean, so you try to get on first that way. But if you're going to hit a home run, I'd rather you hit the home run than walk. So
yeah, like, and he's hitting 347, and his on-base percentage is 369. So, I mean, that's fine. His OPS is in the thousands. I don't care what anybody says about anyone. If your OPS is in the thousands, that's that. Yeah. Period.
Fantastic. All right, Nate. That was some good names here. These are guys that, again, it's worth going out and checking to see if they're on the waiver wire. I know Locklear was for me. I can go pick up Locklear right now in the league. Brian Wu was available. Like, these guys are all there to go pick up. Especially the ones, you know, you went over to Nate, Jared Jones. I'm actually going to go pick up right now as well. Just like, so that's fun to get these guys for nothing. And maybe they provide some super value for you. And that's very, very good. So we are, we're pretty much done with the month of May here. So I think next week we're going to go and revisit our prospects of the month and see how that looked. I liked how that turned out for the month of April, and May is over by the time we record next week, and so is my school year, so I will be on summer break. I'll be ready to do an episode a day in the summer. I hope you're ready for that too.
Let's do it. Insert the Alice Cooper "School's Out for Summer" clip.
That'll be next week. Yeah, the theme song. Fantastic. All right, well, thanks for listening. If you made it this far, really appreciate all the support. Again, if you can review and 5 stars on any of those platforms, that's very much appreciated if you feel the urge to do so, because hey, let's remember, all those other guys are charging you money for their lists and their Patreons and their I don't even know what that stuff is anymore, so we give it all for free. So just FYI, if you hate us, like, remember, this is everything Prospects 1500 gives you is free. Everybody else is charging. I mean, I get every other place is charging you something. So keep that in mind. Anyway, Prospects 1500, Futures Focus. My name, Alex Sanchez, Nate Ecker. Thank you for joining me again tonight. Summer's here. We will see you next week.